Good evening. Title of my message is probably the strangest one ever. It's One Sock, but you'll remember it. One Sock. So about a month ago, I was having a conversation with, we were sitting around at the Baldwin's, and some of the guys were talking, and just current state of affairs in the country and things of that nature, and someone had alluded to, well, you know, it's kind of like that one sock. It's just, it's there. You don't pay much attention to it. It doesn't bother you. It's not in the way, and if you don't pick it up, you get used to seeing it, and you forget about it, and then it's one more thing. And it's one more thing, and it's one more thing, and it's one more thing, and it's slow and gradual, and you just grow into it, and you don't even realize it, and then you wake up whenever, hopefully, and you see what's happened. With the state of things going on, we can see we haven't woken up yet. But it really started me thinking, and that thought has been on my mind for some time. Christy and I, in our home, we don't have much storage at all. So it makes us be very careful. We can't have a lot. So not a lot gets cluttered upstairs. How many feel guilty right now? Well, what I didn't say is we have a basement. And in one corner is my tools, and that has grown. And in one corner we had the kids' toys, and that has grown. And in another corner we have the utilities area, and that has grown. And then in the other corner we have the, we're going to get to that, and that has grown. And it's an open basement, and it's a full basement. So then there's the middle, and any other spot, and it's grown. I recently built a shed. No, not to put more stuff in. Christy and I agreed before anything goes in there, because it just got finished, we will know what's going in. It will have a place. And if it's not to go in there, I will throw it out. My uncle told his kids, if you do not take care of it and it's in the lawn, I will run it over. Take care of it. If it's in there and it doesn't go, help me, Lord. It's not going to be in there. But our lives are very similar, where things accumulate. Genesis 1:1, in the beginning there was nothing, and things grew out of that. Everything has an origin. Everything has a beginning in our lives. This is not a negative message, but this is to the positive as well. In the beginning, if we have good origins, we will have good outcomes. Amen? But if we don't, and we have negative origins, we will have negative outcomes. We'll have negative fruit from those things. Who here has ever heard of the show The Hoarders? I'm not sure if I've always questioned, is it real? I think some of that you probably can't stage, so I haven't watched it in depth, but I get the concept, and people will not let things go. And their house didn't just go, oh, how'd this happen? It was a little thing here and there that they just collected, and it happened. But some of the potential things is destruction. Health issues arise because of the things that they save. Structural things are, structural hazards are potentials because of the things and what they're doing in their homes. So how does this relate to us personally? Well, what's that one sock? And I'll ask, don't raise your hand if you don't want to, even if you do, but who here has that perhaps one sock in their life that they've let go? I do. I have. I've let things go. And I've reaped the fruits of them because of those things that I've let go in my life. Who here wants those things dealt with? I think it's a, we know the answer to that. Are we dealing with them? As I said, who here has that room or that area in their lives that shouldn't be there? Areas that in a negative way may have grown into something that shouldn't be there. Where did it start? Can you trace that back? I like to reverse engineer things and go backwards to see, where did it start from? Where did it come from? Where did that issue begin? Perhaps it's an iniquity, but we chose to act on that one thing. Perhaps it's something just Jason started. I did something and it went somewhere. That one stock is a symbol of just that one thing that doesn't seem that big of a deal, however, over time can become something of our destruction. And several days ago, I was reading in Ephesians chapter 4. And specifically, I had read verse 25. And it says, therefore, each of you must put off. Each of you must put off. And again, that thought of that one sock kept coming to my mind, of that one thing, or those things that we've let go, I've let go in my life, that have grown into something that shouldn't have been, weren't dealt with in the right way, or given that importance. But then I went back, and up in verse 17, Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17 to 32, these are the texts that we're going to use tonight to go over. But the highlight there, it says, instruction for Christian living. Instruction for Christian living. And verse 17 says, so, and this is out of the NIV, it says, so I tell you this, and insist on it in the Lord, that you must no longer live as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their thinking. The teaching today that we hear, and is all throughout society, is very much geared toward a humanistic outlook. Now, I was reading the commentary, and John Gill said that the phrase is expressive of the emptiness of the mind. It's being naturally destitute of God, of the knowledge, the fear, the grace of God, and of Jesus Christ. And this danger, Paul was warning, of allowing the humanistic thinking into our hearts and minds. It's everywhere, though. It's everywhere. And if we're not being aware, it just happens. We succumb to that. Whether you're up here in Bible school or whether you're out in the secular world, it happens. If we're not paying attention to it. If we're not giving heed to those little things, and for each one of us it's different. My little thing might not be yours. You may be very attentive to that. I might be very attentive to my thing that you're not. So each one of us has those different things. But are we paying attention to it? Or are we swaying to that human thinking? I was on the plane coming back from California, and there was a gentleman who just flown from Australia. He was two seats ahead of me in a plane, and I could very clearly hear him. Planes aren't quiet if you haven't been in one. And he was talking and talking, and he does research for the environment and how plastics and how they were destroying the world. And I'm not a tree hugger. I do care about society, about the environment. I do my best. I recycle. But I don't go to the extent that this person did, and I could tell you all about what he was saying. So finally, a lady in front of me said, excuse me, I've been on a red eye. Could you please be quiet? We can all hear you. And everyone around was rather grateful. But he was so infused in the human way of saving the world. We can't. But you give, it's all around us. It's everywhere. Politics, it's around us. Sociology, it's all around us. It's everywhere. And if that's all you're hearing, that's what you'll sway to. I have to be very careful when I'm listening to the news and commentaries and things that way, that I don't get so sucked into it that I start going that way. And maybe that's not your thing, but we need to be careful of what is our thing that can take us to that. So we don't want to be filled with that human mindset. Verse 18. It says, they are darkened in their understanding and separated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them due to the hardening of their hearts. In Proverbs 28:14, Grace was just memorizing this. Blessed is the man who always fears the Lord, but he who hardens his heart falls into trouble. And it was talking about Pharaoh. Well, that's what it was alluding to in the teaching she was getting. But he hardened his heart and he fell into trouble. And I was using that to teach Grace in a situation she was going through. I said, if you harden your heart, this is what happens. You see what happened to Pharaoh? Not that extreme, honey. Don't be worried. But this is what happens. And are we hardening our heart? Are we growing cold? Are we growing insensitive to hearing God's voice in what we're saying, what He's saying. If we lose discernment, we don't see the dangers that we're being exposed to. And that humanistic mindset can become part of us. And then we get offended when things start challenging it. So it's being careful, again, of just what are we allowing in? When my kids were young, I am trying to fill their minds with Christ. I'm trying to make it very much a part of them, that they know His voice. I pray that they sense when He's not there, that they sense when He is there, that they love it. And I'm trying to do everything I can to equip them so that that is their compass, that is their focus, not the things of the world that they're going to be hearing, and so that they're quick to see the dangers as those things come their way, that when they hear the Lord saying, no, the Holy Spirit, don't go that way, don't be with that person, don't do this, that they're sensitive to those things. Our hearts can be hardened by that one thing over time. Verse 19 says, having lost all sensitivity, they have given themselves over to sensuality, so as to indulge in every kind of impurity, and they are full of greed. And as we see, they lost their sensitivity. Some of the people just considering in Scripture, great men of God. We see Isaac, he lost, his eyes grew dim. He lost his sensitivity to what was going on in his own practical family. The love that he was showing to his one child, the love that his wife was showing to the other child, he was blinded to, and or it was one sock. Oh, you know what? I've touched on it enough. I don't want to say it again. I don't want to deal with it one more time. And it was let go. I don't know what happened, but that's what happens in life. Life gets in the way, and we have 20 other things or 100 other things going on at the same time. Saul, he was a godly man when he was picked, but his heart went away. Samson, we see that his heart grew cold. And in the thought of that immorality, he went into that fully, but still talking to God, a relationship with Him, but still participating in that lifestyle. Judas. They didn't start out, any of them, planning to do what they did. But something happened. They went off course somewhere. And we need to make sure that we don't think that we're not capable of falling into that. I used to say that, and I still do, when you're no longer afraid, you should be afraid. When we lose that fear, we don't want to lose that fear. We don't want to lose that sensitivity. Casting Crowns, one of their songs says, it's a slow fade when you give yourself away. It's a slow fade when black and white are turned to gray. Thoughts invade, choices are made, and a price will be paid. People never crumble in a day. And it's those small things that we give ourselves to. And I can get so focused on the big things, but it's those little things. And we're going to see some of the things Paul touches on in this. And whatever it is for you, if it's in this list or not, but is there that one thing that we need to keep track of. Verse 20 says that, however, it is not the way of life you learned. Paul was telling them and reminding them, this is not the way you were taught. You were taught the right way. When you heard about Christ, verse 21, it says, and were taught in Him in accordance with truth, that is Jesus Christ. You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self, which is being corrupted by these deceitful desires. And we know this. Zion has a very high teaching, but Zion doesn't keep us. It's Jesus Christ within us. Zion is our goal. Jesus is our goal, but what are we doing? And where are we focusing? Is Christ in us? Are we running toward Him? And is that desire, those desires in our hearts, are we dealing with those wrong ones? Those ones that we know shouldn't be there? Are we taking care of those? Or are we just not seeing them as a big deal and allowing them to hang out, if you will? Verse 23 says, to be made new in the attitude of your minds. As I said earlier, my shed is new. But I have a choice. I can just take all that stuff that I've accumulated and put it in there. So great, it's new. With all the old stuff in there. God has given us something amazing. And at salvation, I think it's as I really consider it, it's an amazing point when you are new again. And we have the choice to say, I will do this. I will continue. I'm going to hold on. I'm going to pack a bag when I go on this new trip. Some of those old things that we like, and we bring them with us. Or we choose to say, no. I'm going to turn around and I'm going to walk forward. I'm going to leave those old things, and I'm going to fill the new with appointed things. With the pre-appointed things that God has designed for me to have. So my shed is going to have those pre-appointed, pre-approved, non-junk stuff. Is our life going to have that pre-approved, non-junk stuff? I hear Christians talk about shows with homosexuality in it and recommend the show. We can't do that. Something's not in line. I'm not the judge. I'm not their God. But something's not in line. We have to have sensitivity. And I can judge them for that, but they can be saying the same exact thing about me right now, about something in my life. So it's not for me to say, but it is, what am I doing? Lord, am I in line with you? Am I? Because if you don't see, if you're blind, you're blind. You don't see it. So, Lord, show me. And that's why it's so important going back, and I'm going to touch, I say it a lot, I'm going to always say it. Pastor Karam used to say, wearing new grooves. While you're young, it's easy to wear grooves. When you're older, it's harder to fill the grooves in, and it's harder to wear new grooves. Amen? It is, because we form habits. I've got 40 years of life behind me that I've formed habit from. That's hard to stop. It's hard to stop sometimes. God can give us the grace that we need and the desire to want to stop those things. In 1 Peter, it says, well, again, in Ephesians 4:23, it says, to be made new in the mind, in the attitudes of your mind. And we know in 1 Peter 1:13, gird up the loins of your minds. Are we having those conversations in our head that just shouldn't be there? Resentment, anger, bitterness, not right thoughts? Are we having those conversations that just shouldn't be against our leaders, against politics, against whatever shouldn't be there, whatever that is for you? Are we girding up our loins and saying, no, you don't pass the eighth gate, you didn't pass the second gate, whatever gate, maybe they got through some of them because it was biblically allowed. If they don't get, then done. And they're not allowed in. We have been made new. And we're being changed from glory to glory. Verse 24 says, and to put on the new self, to put on the new self, created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. Created to be like God. He's wearing those grooves in us. He's preparing us. He's setting us on that path. He's creating ways for us to go and ways for us not to go. Are we staying in those grooves that He has ordained for us? This is not to discourage us and to think about everything we've done, but encourage us to move forward and leave those things behind. Verse 25 says, therefore, each of you must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor, for we are all members of one body. How are we talking about each other? You know, I was talking to someone, and we were talking about a certain situation, and they had mentioned something. And I so respect them, because they came to me later, and they said, you know what, I'm sorry for saying that. I have such respect for them, because they realized what they did, and they put an end to it. Now, they have a choice tomorrow, the next day. But they put an end to it today. We have a choice. What are we saying? How are we talking about each other? When you go to your rooms or when I go to my home, are we uplifting each other behind closed doors, or are we criticizing and gossiping in the name of, did you hear about so-and-so? Oh, we need to pray for them. This is what they did. Is that okay? We know that's not okay. But how often do we do it? Or have we just gotten to the groove and we just do it? Because it's what we've done. It's what we've seen done, maybe. So that's what we do. We don't want to do those things. Therefore, we must put off falsehood and speak truthfully to your neighbor. Verse 26, in your anger, do not sin. Do not let the sun go down while you're still angry. Doesn't matter if you're Irish. Doesn't matter what your nationality is. He whom the sun sets free, there's no exclusion for the Irish, is free indeed. Anger's an issue. I do have some Irish in me, so some of my family has a propensity to be angry. I didn't think of that till just now. I usually fall under a different category because I'm Polish, and I'll let you kind of figure that one out. But are we angry? Doesn't matter if your parents were. Deal with it. Deal with it. I don't say that lightly. And these things aren't, oh, I'm done. Okay, yep, new. No, it can be. And praise God if that happens, but it's a choice that we make daily to say, I'm going to be different. I'm not going to let these things go on. I'm so cognizant right now because of how young my kids are. And having them, I don't want to see them continue on with what I have. The things that I know aren't right in me, I want dealt with in them. And so I'm working on those things. But just as much for me, for each of us, that we're dealing with those things, those areas in our life. Maybe anger isn't an issue for you. Wonderful. Verse 27. Do not give the devil a foothold. I didn't use this as confirmation. I didn't even get it till I was but a sock, foothold. Don't give him a foothold. That one sock gives him an in. That crack in the door allows him to get his fingers in our lives. And perhaps he's pried the door wide open and he has full access in our lives. Only you and God know that. But don't give him the opportunity to get in. And if the Lord's speaking to you, then by his grace, which we'll see he gives it, shut the door. Remove the obstacle that he has as a foothold into your life. Because he's going to come again and try to grab onto it after tonight. He is going to try. What are we going to do to take away that foothold? So he doesn't have it anymore. Verse 28 says, anyone who has been stealing, steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with their own hands, that they may have something to share with those in need. Maybe you're not stealing things from someone, but time. We were on the plane, and my wife overheard a conversation of someone, and phones track your time, screen time. And she's like to her husband, something's wrong with my phone. It's just staying on all the time. Because look at how much screen time it's showing that I have. And he's like, no, honey, that's how much time you've spent on your phone. And she's like, oh. Oh. But at work, they say that that's the new thing. I don't believe in generational titles, but in any of it, the millennials, they sit there like this. Scrolling on their phone as they're working at their desk or whatever, or look in the car. I mean, on my trip this last week, I looked, 5 out of 8 are on their phone sitting in a little circle. It's like everyone's, look in the cars, look next to you, everyone's on their phone, but if you're at work, we're stealing time. I took Facebook off my phone because it just was too much of a distraction for me. So I just took it off. It's not there to bother me now. I put it back on vacation. I'll take it off again. But just full disclosure. But are we stealing? Are we being faithful? God's going to come back. And every little thing we will give an account for. And it's all the little things. I think we have more little things and bigger things that are going to add up when God sees and gives an account of our time. Verse 29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouth, but only that which is helpful for building up others according to their needs, that it may benefit them, benefit those who listen. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, with whom we are sealed for the day of redemption. Are we creating an atmosphere that He wants to dwell in? Am I grieving Him with what we're scrolling through on our phone? With what we're hearing? With what we're thinking? And yes, it's a lot, but that's why we get it when it's one sock. When it's one sock, not when it's a hoarded house that perhaps the house has to be destroyed or so much stripped out of and so much wasted. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, brawling, slanders, along with every form of malice. We've touched a lot of areas in these verses. And if any of them, if the Holy Spirit is speaking to you, then I would encourage each of us to consider those things. To consider those things and submit ourselves to the Lord and not just be another round the mountain, but deal with it. We have three choices in this matter, depending on how many you find or if it's one. We'll assume it's one that the Holy Spirit's speaking to you. We can choose to continue in our sin in that area that we've built up in our life. We can sit in self-pity and do nothing and say, well, I've gone so long and this has been so standing in my life, it's too far gone, and we can sulk in that place. Or we can repent and move on. Because it isn't how we start. My eternity is not based off of a human mindset. It's based off God's forgiveness and redemption. And as far as the east is from the west, and the thought of Him being able to redeem time and to bring us to that place that He has for us to come to. And the thought came to me of David when he sinned with Bathsheba, and we find this in 2 Samuel in closing, verses or chapter 11 and 12. And Nathan the prophet judged him, told him what was going to come to his house, and he accepted it completely. We see no resistance to the correction that was pronounced upon him. When his son was going to die, he laid there for 8 days, fasted, prayed, was told that the son was dead. He got up, bathed, washed, went and worshiped, ate, and went on with life. And they said, how can you do this? He goes, there's nothing I can do. What God has done, I prayed that He would do this. He didn't. I go on. And the thought there of, it's time to go on. Wherever we find ourselves today, no matter how big of a mountain, we don't look at the mountain, we turn around and walk toward God. So whatever it is, if the Lord and the Holy Spirit is speaking something to you, either mentioned or not mentioned, what can we do? While I was on my trip, I talked to Christy and I said, I want us to each have one thing, and we're not going to say it now, that we can change in our life. Something small that we are going to commit to change in our life. Not, that's a good idea. I said, not two or three, one each. That we are going to change in our lives, that we are going to implement, pray and ask the Lord to help us, but we're going forward in them. What are those things in your life that the Holy Spirit is speaking that need to go, that are a waste of time, that are just not worth it, not profitable, it's busy work, it's not productive work for His kingdom? Whatever it is, I encourage you to give it to Him. He wants us to be profitable. He wants us to be effective and have joy in serving Him. So I encourage you with that. If the musicians would come, we'll just close in prayer. Father in heaven, we thank You for this time that we've had in Your presence. And Holy Spirit, I just ask that that one thing, Lord, whether it be one small thing now or if You're revealing to us something we've just let go for a long time and it's grown to something that needs to be dealt with, Lord, would You help us? We thank You for Your strength and for Your grace, Lord, for Your forgiveness and for all that You offer to us to be able to change and to go on and be effective for Your kingdom. We thank You, and we just commit this night and our lives into Your hands. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.